establish by means of the present truth.
Create the apostolic leader of remnant and the book,
which is an apostolic platform based in Makurdi, Benue State of Nigeria. The ministry has a network of churches and apostolic centers all over Nigeria and beyond. It has the mandate to strive for the repent of apostolic Christianity. He is committed to see God's kingdom and his righteousness become every believer's number one priority. For this reason, he travels regularly to preach, teach, pray and prophesy at conferences and gospel crusades across the nations of the world. At such gatherings, God sends great help in revelation, inspiration, illumination, signs, miracles, and prophetic breakthroughs to confirm his word in the mouth of his servant. He is married to Dinah and blessed with Joshua and Esther. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together as you make welcome to be a blessing to God's people, Apostle Arome Osai.
Amen. Good morning to you in Jesus' mighty name. I acknowledge this privilege that you have given unto me, and I do not take it for granted. And also, to preach before the people that preach to us, it's a great, great privilege. You know, for a long time, I knew I had the calling of an apostle, and I knew that the apostle is supposed to be able to flow in all the fivefold offices. The most difficult office it was that was for me to flow in is the evangelical, because I've been teaching for many years, so I don't know how the evangelist does it. So I watched your life. I watched the life of Evangelist Sunday Buchek and Ryan Bonke in order for me to get the courage to be able to. So I'm that's the reason why I cannot stop honoring. Amen. You know, standing in an organized conference like this to preach is different from standing where you are waging war against demons, and it's a different thing. It's not the same thing. And it took many years of observation to be able to stand in that capacity. Once again, let us appreciate our model. Father, this morning we ask that you open your counsel to us and let your word drop upon our hearts like viable seeds that cannot die, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated in the house of God. For a very long time, when I stand on a crusade ground, the anointing will leave me. It happened for many years. Yes. If I'm teaching like this, the anointing comes strong, but when I go outside, it runs dry. And every time I try to connect, I will just be confused. So I stop preaching. I stop accepting invitations to preach on crusades. It meant that I didn't have the grace for it. So I started watching people that were doing it effortlessly. The kind of messages they preached outdoor, the way they released the anointing. And then when I learn a few things, I take it to the place of prayer, see a few things, I take it to the place of prayer until I began to function. But it took 9 years of watching and praying before it was possible for me to function that way. It's one of the strongest offices. And unfortunately, in our time, public air crusading is becoming a thing of the past. I pray that someone will catch a vision in this service this morning in the name of Jesus. Turn your Bible to the book of Exodus chapter 33. I would like to see something quickly. 33. We'll start with definition of terms, definition of terminologies. What exactly is the tabernacle of Moses? What is the tabernacle of David? What is the function of the tabernacle of Moses? What is the function of the tabernacle of David? Why is it that the scripture says that the time will come when God will reconstruct the tabernacle of David that is fallen? In the book of Exodus chapter 33, beginning from verse 7, we want to read. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. Please underline that before we proceed. He called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that when one which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle that the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the... Stood at the what? Sorry, what verse was that? And stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses, and all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man in his tent door. So verse 11 gives us an insight into the kind of relationship that God had with Moses. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp, but this his servant Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Alright, if you see the reading here, you will see that the tabernacle of Moses, which was fondly called the tabernacle of the congregation, was an infrastructure that was built up close to the camp. It was designed to be a place of communion between God and man. Are you with me? Now, the tabernacle was constructed with a technology in mind. And the technology was a means by which the dimensions of God could be trapped into the earth. Right? So that was what the tabernacle was about. I like calling it a shrine because it's a technology that was used to trap the dimensions of a spirit being to a physical location. And so if you wanted to interface with that spirit being, you came into that physical location and you'll be able to interact with the spirit being. This possibility was set up for every Israelite, but unfortunately, it was only Moses that was taking advantage of it. When Moses is about going into the tabernacle, everybody knows the time he normally goes, and they come out, they stand at the tent door, Moses will pass, go into the tabernacle, and then the cloud will descend, and all of them will be worshipping at their tent door. Meanwhile, that tabernacle was not raised for Moses. It was raised for the entire congregation. See, one of the challenges we have in our time is that people leave the issue of interfacing with God to the pastor, to the prophet, to the evangelist, to the apostle, to the teacher. And everyone comes to watch the apostle, the evangelist, burn with fire, the flames that we have contacted from the presence of God. But it was supposed to be a cultural thing. It was supposed to be part and parcel of the culture of the people of God. Right? That's so the purpose of the tabernacle of Moses is to create a possibility of intimacy with God. That's why it was set up. Are you with me? So because today we need to talk about intimacy with God. According to the arrangement that we studied about, which is the arrangement of the mingled spirit, it affords us a few privileges. One of the privileges that he affords us is that it is therefore, because of that arrangement, easier for you to interface with God than it is for you to interface with a human being. Just like you are friends with your wife, it is possible for you to be more friendly with God because of the infrastructure that has been built. It's an infrastructure of the mingled spirit. So right within, around, and beyond your spirit is the presence of the Holy Ghost. Therefore makes it easier for you to connect with God than it is for you to connect with the physical person. So the direct result of the arrangement of that which God has put in place in the New Testament context is to afford us the first privilege. It affords us the privilege of intimacy. Somebody say intimacy. Now, let us study quickly, because as you are praying, as you are fasting, as you are talking to God, maybe you lock the door up and you are in the room. I want to tell you how God will respond to you. Because when Moses began to exercise himself in the tabernacle, this is the account of the dimension of intimacy that he was able to secure before the presence of God. Verse number 11. So this is the scripture from whence we are going to take our bearing this morning. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face. That's the first qualifier. He spoke unto Moses how? Face to face. And just in case we are confused about what face to face means, he went further to give us explanation. And he says, as a man speaketh unto his friend. It means that the kind of relationship that existed between Moses and God was informal. It wasn't formal. You know, my wife runs a small school somewhere in welfare quarters. Once in a while, it's a great sight to go and see how the teachers are trying to pass knowledge to the little children. If you don't come like a friend, you have missed it. If you need to dance and do one funny thing that they can relate with, when they are sure that friendship is involved, then learning can take place. Now, so that is primary school education. So this education that Moses received here is primary school education. It's basic education. Basic. Should I come again? Because we are going far. But this is the key. The key, the explanation of the nature of relationship that God and Moses had, first of all, was not formal. You see, when we were in the university, you know how lectures were. The lecturer doesn't need to know you. Don't even need to know the lecturer. In fact, if you try to know him too much, he can result to something terrible. It's very formal. But the example of what we have here is very, very informal. That means God can come and say, I like your time. I know most of us don't believe that the God of heaven has that time to appreciate your time. I know that's not how we know God. But that was the quality of relationship that Moses had going with him and the Lord. When we become more intimate with God, you find out that God is concerned about every aspect of your life. You see, what we have learned to do is to, I know some of you like football, Champions League, Premier League, right? Don't be quiet. I know you like. You see, the problem is, we like what we like, but we don't like taking God into what we like. Tell him, see, oh, this Champions League, talk to, you see, your relationship with God is too formal. That's why your heart is not adequately textured to be able to pick up frequencies. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his own friend. Bring him into everything that you are doing. Let him have the right of way to make his comments, to tell you about his own observation, to tell you about what he thinks about this thing you like. He wants to be involved in every strand of your existence. Oh, you are going to write an examination. Have you talked to him about it? It's only when we want to marry, then we say, yes. Holy Ghost, come. Kamasatama kayama. Now, if you don't learn how to texture your heart towards his voice, even when you want to get married, it will be difficult for you to hear God. Because he comes as a friend. All right. So, this is primary school. And part of what you will learn in primary school is A, B, C, D. So, let us speak two scriptures to show that what I'm trying to say has New Testament representation. And then we'll begin to try to navigate in that regard. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where we started the other day. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning from verse 12 and verse number 13. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13 is my emphasis. He said, which things we speak. These things that are freely given to us of God, the Bible says, they are things that we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with which the Holy Ghost teacheth. It means, there are words with which the Holy Spirit teaches. And those words are different from the words by which man's wisdom is taught. You are not with me. I'm trying to introduce you to spirit language. In this, you are not with me. I'm checking you to know how far we can go in this journey. He said, there are things we have not received a spirit which is of this world, but we have received a spirit which is of God, so that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. You see, it is possible for you not to know the things that are freely given to you of God, and you can be looking for what is not lost. See, knowing what has been freely given to you is critical. However, your possibility of knowing is tied to the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit doesn't teach using words through which the wisdom of man is communicated. He uses words that the Holy Spirit himself communicates. The next aspect of that verse is to give us an understanding of spirit words. Let's go back there, verse 13. Before, it's a long journey. It's a long journey. You know, yesterday, see, now we can't finish our syllabus. I was supposed to define what substance is, what a spiritual substance is, what a spiritual reality is, what is a testimony. Because the Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And what is witness? Before we go to advanced studies, This is the gateway to advanced spiritual studies. Because by the time you get to the book of Revelation, and God uses sign language in the book of Revelation. He said the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto John to show his servants the things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it. That word signify is sign language. Unto John by his angel. Sign language. That's advanced studies. Yeah, okay. Do you still remember when a hand appeared and began to write on the wall? Mene, mene, tekel, uvasi. Which language is that? Have you... What? Oh. Okay. Now, please, we can't do the advanced studies today, but let us begin with basic studies. Basic. In this basic study that we want to start, our entry point is in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. I would like you also to understand it very well before we begin the journey of basic studies of spiritual language. Spiritual language. Okay, let's get that scripture back again. He said, which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Then he is explaining the words that the Holy Ghost uses to teach. He says, when the Holy Ghost is teaching, he compares spiritual things with spiritual. What kind of communication is that? The words that the Holy Ghost uses to teach, it manifests when there are comparisons. All right, second scripture to establish this point will be John chapter 6. These are direct words from the mouth of Jesus. John chapter 6. Verse 63. John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Please underline quickeneth. Quickeneth. For instance, how many of you, like me, desire to have a stronger prayer life? The technology about praying, talking to God, is tied to, yes, you can put your hand down, is tied to quickening. Quickening. We need to know what quickening is. Why do I say so? Someone can help me open your Bible to the book of Psalms 80, verse 18. Technical man, if you go, make sure you come back to John chapter 6. Psalms 80, verse 18. Are you there? This is my technical man. All right. See. He says, so will not we go back from thee. That means, even if you delay, we have made up our mind, we don't have any other solution apart from you. If you are not this dogged, you can't find the best of God. There is a doggedness that is required for you to enter into the economy of God's grace. The psalmist says, well, we have gone round, and even if it's as though there is, you tarry, we will not depart from thee. What is the prayer here? He says, quicken us, and we shall call upon thy name. It means that if you are not quickened, prayer will be punishment. In order for you to talk to God effectively in such a way that God will hear you, the Holy Spirit has a role to play. He quickens you. In fact, there are some dimensions of quickening that you need to see a vision. There are dimensions of quickening you need to hear the voice of God. There are dimensions of quickening you need to receive wisdom from God. And the Bible says that in the Godhead, there is division of labor, because it is the responsibility, exclusive responsibility of the Spirit to quicken. It is the Spirit that quickened it. So how do you pray? The easiest way to achieve quickening is to begin to speak in tongues. And that's why speaking in tongues is the only gift of the Spirit that you can operate at will. At will. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The Bible says, I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray in my understanding also. It means that you can speak in tongues at will. That's the only gift that God makes available that is possible for you to exploit, possible for you to explore at will. So you are speaking in tongues, waiting for the Holy Ghost to quicken you. And notice that the moment you get quickened, your utterance will change. One of the evidences of inner quickening is that your utterances will change. There is a level to which you will go. You enter into a certain energy level as you begin to drive in that spiritual protocol, that it will be customary for you to see visions. So what we are talking about here is that what you can access in your intimacy with God is dependent on your status of quickening. Meanwhile, it is not you that quickens yourself. It is the Holy Ghost that quickens. So you need to be very dogged, because the Holy Spirit is a king spirit. It's not a spirit you send around. The Holy Spirit will only do what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and the way he wants to do it. So that is the reason why it is spiritually healthy for you to learn how to wait on God. Waiting on God means you acknowledge that he will only come out when he wants to come out. Do you understand? He will only do, he will speak to you when he wants to, not when you want to. Do you still remember the last time you cried and said, God! And he didn't answer you? Because you can't, he's a king. May the Lord give you understanding. He's a king. He won't come out until he wants to come out. And if he comes out, it's an act of mercy. So you need to worship him for it. When the Holy Ghost wants you to hear him, what he does is that he quickens you. Because on the energy level that you are now, you can't hear him. So he comes to you and quickens you. That is because you are quickened that you saw that dream. If you are not quickened, even though there's transmission, you will not have the capacity to catch that frequency. How many of you still have a transistor radio? We used to have it those days. FM. What's the frequency of our FM station? 96.5. Now, wait. We have, okay, that means we have two such stations here. 95.0 and 96.5. Now, you might have a radio that is functional, but it may not be tuned. And because it's not tuned, you will not get what is happening in 96.5. It is the Holy Ghost that has the responsibility to tune you. Your receptacle needs tuning for you to be able to pick from God's frequency. And it is the Spirit that can do that. You cannot do. The fact that you are even called as a prophet doesn't give you any advantage. Doesn't give you any advantage. But if you know you have a prophetic calling, then you must become an intercessor. That is compulsory. You will find out that because you are a prophet, doesn't give you any advantage from an average believer to hear God. So you must be an intercessor, first and foremost. You must learn how to pray when others are not praying, which is praying in the night, which is not convenient for your flesh. And you do it until your flesh gives you permission and say, carry go. Yes. He says, so shall we not depart from thee, quicken us, and we shall call upon thy name. So in the scripture where we read, the Bible says it is the Spirit that does what? That quickens. The flesh profits nothing. Then the words that I speak, they are spirit. Now, for you to even hear the words, you must be quickened in the first place. Because the words are spirit. So we came this morning to study words that are spirit. Those are the words that form the alphabet of this communication that the spirit uses to teach. Is that clear? Oh my. I say, is that clear?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, we will start. Let me see how many alphabets I have here. Then, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I will give you, I found 7 alphabets. I'll give you 3. You study 4. I had to study the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to find the alphabets. The whole of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because I was trying to study it in the life of Jesus. So let's go. Words that are spirits. And words that carry life. Okay, let's do Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Beginning from verse 13. And I want to show you my approach. I have an approach that I want us to use in understanding this language. Unfortunately, the only way I could find to teach what I want to teach now is using the linguistic approach. That's the only way I could. Please don't be discouraged. But I'll be quoting Greek, a lot of Greek this morning. Acts chapter 17, verse 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And there that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Verse number 16, which is my emphasis, is that now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred. That's communication. You know, I said it is the spirit that quickens. This has nothing to do with your willingness. It has nothing to do with the condition you find yourself. This is a mutually exclusive event that is propelled by the Spirit of God. So while he was waiting for Timothy and for Silas in Athens, his spirit was stirred. The word stirred there, stirred in Greek, is, should I spare you those complicated words and just tell you the meaning? Okay, this one is paroxuno. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Paroxuno means that there is a sense of trouble. How many of you in this hall this morning, if danger is coming, you can know? It's part of the language, the ability to decode danger. He was waiting for his brethren, and he was in a casual condition. And then suddenly, The Holy Ghost within him was there. And this man was able to perceive what the Holy Spirit was signifying to him within his spirit man. Okay, let me give you another scripture that has the same word. Maybe it will give you deeper insight. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. You find it there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It says, verse 4 says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. The word provoked there is the same word we are talking about. His spirit was provoked. What provoked him? Go back to Acts. There was something on ground in that place that provoked him. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. The Athens he was waiting for, it wasn't the mission field. Because of the security intelligence that was received, how that his life might be in danger, they ferried him out of that province, and the waiting place was Athens. He sent a signal to his disciples to meet him quickly. He was just passing time. And when he looked upon the land, what happened? The Holy Ghost within him was provoked. What was the object of the provocation? The whole land was given to idolatry. Now, what this man is experiencing is what God is feeling about a matter. So that means he is discerning the heart of God. Why is it possible for him to discern the heart of God? Because of the arrangement, the economy of the mingled spirit. The spirit of God is mingled with your own human spirit. So it is possible for you to discern what is in the bowels of God. The whole land was given to idolatry, and the spirit of God within him was what? When last did you enter into a territory? And because of some of the things you saw, it generated a burden that led you into 2 weeks of praying and fasting. It was not you that had a problem. It was the Holy Ghost that had a problem with the environment. And you felt what he was feeling. And because of that, you responded with prayer. You know, I told you the arrangement that God had when he wanted to create man was that he will wear man like a garment. He will wear your spirit. And then it will be him that is moving through you, not you moving through yourself. That's why the testimony of the Christian life is in the book of Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. It is no longer I that liveth. The one driving me, the one propelling me is Christ that is domiciled within me. And this was the Spirit of God that was in Paul registering his displeasure about the state of idolatry that has covered the entire landscape of the city of Athens. So the question is, when last did you feel what God was feeling? Maybe about a circumstance. Maybe about a situation. And it was not you being concerned. It was the Holy Ghost. You were doing well, taking coffee. And the Holy Spirit in you awoke. If that has never happened to you before, it means that in your alphabet, your spiritual alphabet, there's no A. If you remove A from Adama, what will remain? Does it still have meaning in Idoma? So So a lot of people cannot decode God when he's moving because they don't have the alphabet A. Can't decode it. What they make out of what they receive doesn't make sense because some alphabets are missing. The first thing that God does is that he gives you access to be able to discern what he feels. That's the first alphabet. You feeling what God feels about a matter. Feeling what God feels. Many times when you are maybe in a crusade and you want to minister, then the Lord now brings one compassion. That is how he feels about them. And many more times, compassion was the trigger to the healing anointing on the life of Jesus. Because he had the capacity to feel what his father felt about the congregation. They were like sheep without shepherd. Instantly, the healing and anointing is triggered. There are many things that will not be triggered in your life except you feel what God feels. Oh, you want to bring deliverance to your family and you have not felt what he feels about your family. Wait first. Wait in prayer until you feel what God is feeling about your family. Then you will have the accurate comportment to represent him in the matter. His spirit was what? Stirred up within him. Number two is in the book of Mark chapter 1. Verse 9-12. Mark chapter 1, verse 9-12. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And immediately the Spirit driveth. As they said, that's B. This alphabet B. The Spirit driveth him. Now, you will expect, because what took place there is an accreditation service. The moment Jesus was coming out of the water, the alignment of heaven was affected. The Holy Spirit descended from heaven and alighted upon him and remained. It was a public accreditation exercise. And God spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." That's a mighty moment for Jesus. And instantly after that moment, you will expect God to allow Jesus to give a speech, make a speech. You know, I've been around for a long time, and my identity has not been disclosed. I was wondering why the Father kept important issues like this secret. But, well, today is a great moment. There was no speech. The moment the Holy Ghost came upon him, then the Spirit of God began to drive him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. That's B. The word driveth in that scripture is called ekbalo, which is E-K-B-A-L-L-O. Ekbalo means to compare. In fact, this is where we get our driving force from. Because maybe you drove here in a Toyota Matrix vehicle. It's not very important. What is important is what is driving you. You drove something here, but we need to find out what is driving you. Because after Jesus got that accreditation, then ekbalo took place. There was a compelling force that was driving him away into the wilderness. If you don't know your driving force, you will not know when to take your journey. You will not know when to sit. You will not know when to stand. You will not know when to walk away, and you will not know when to run. Oh, how many of you still remember Joseph? When Potiphar's wife was making advances, Ekbalu, there was something that was stirred within him. So much so that he forgot his shirt there. Even though you will know that that will be used as an evidence against you, but because of the power of what was driving the man, that logic did not count. So please ask your neighbor for me. What is driving you is not as important as what you drive. A friend of mine went to preach somewhere and he came there on a bike. When he appeared on the bike, they just called him aside and said, "This is not how they come here. This is not how they come." Then they put him in a vehicle, in a Rolls Royce, and went back to where he came from. And then he said, "Because if you come, no. This, what you drive matters here." You know, they were concerned about what he drove. They were not concerned about what was driving him. Ekpalo. The moment he was announced, then the government of God kicked him and said, "Your next point of call is the wilderness. And you are going to meet with Satan." And the Holy Spirit did not counsel him how to prepare for the meeting. It was he himself that chose fasting as a preparation. Do you understand that? The purpose of going to the wilderness was not to fast. It was to encounter Satan. Oh, you are not with me. Okay, you see, this car we call Mercedes-Benz. This car, right? Before an engine carries the brand Benz, it must run 1,000 hours on the bench. They will keep topping the engine oil and topping fuel. If you can't run for 1,000 hours on the bench, it is not Benz. It doesn't qualify for Benz. Have you realized that Benz, they don't tumble? They don't tumble. Do you know why? The weight of the car is even. That's why the axle goes to the back. And the axle is very thick so that it can equalize the weight of the engine. That's why it has that balance. Have you ever seen Ben's body rusting? There are 10,000 welding points in a Ben's, and each one is treated. All these things I told you is a company test. But the one that happened to Jesus was not company test, was not internal test. It was an outsourced test. Let him go and be tested by the devil, not the company. You are not with me. That is an okay. After Benz finishes to make the car, then they take it to Sahara Desert. That's outside test. Most of your tests have been inside, and you couldn't survive. Most of your tests are still within the family. The witchcraft there, you couldn't survive inside. But the test that they were talking about here is for Jesus to go outside and be tested by another strange kingdom. So that means that in your training in God, God himself will create avenues for you to be tested. I know you don't like my gospel, but it's true. It's never sweet, but it is true. I went somewhere, they were so excited to invite me, then we now started. Nobody said amen again. I say, meanwhile, this is the gospel God has given me. I don't have any other one. My own is not sweet. It's strong. God will create avenues to test you. It was God that advertised Job to Satan. I said, "You've been walking up and down
to and fro the earth. Did you by any means stumble on my servant Job? Notice that the devil didn't need to go back to fetch a file to give an update about Job's status. He started because he was there. Oh, you don't understand? Okay. When God was teaching Joshua priesthood after Moses died, because he overmourned Moses. Who can be like Moses? If your mentor was Moses, somebody that parted sea. No, his death is a loss. What are you coming to do? A man that when he begins to move, the pillar of cloud from heaven will come and announce that movement. So the man now dies. What are you coming to do? How will you start? How will you lead the prayer? Because Moses was the epitome of the prophet of Israel. That is the hallmark. And in the fullness of his ministry, after interfacing with God, Moses' face glowed. Just let's leave him. I've been studying that man to find out a lot of things. Now Joshua didn't stop mourning. God had to confront him and say, Joshua, Moses, my servant, is not your servant, my own servant, he is dead. Stand up now. And then I could imagine Joshua saying, what of the rod? What of the rod? He said, the rod is also dead. He died with him. So you now rise up. Go beyond this Jordan. And started giving him instructions. And saying, wherever the sole of your feet shall tread upon, I will give you as a possession. You know that kind of walking. That kind of walking that a priest uses to take over territory. In Hebrew, it's called halak. Halak. So the secret that God gave Joshua was not a rod, was halak. The territorial walk of a priest. That was his own secret. When God asked Satan, where have you been? It's a long time I've not seen you. He said, I have been halaking. That same kind of walk that God taught Joshua to walk. I've been halaking up and down and to and fro the earth. That halak is the kind of walk a priest walks when he takes over territory. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
So he was telling God that I took over the entire earth. The only place I could not take was where Job was. And why was it that Satan could not take the place? Because Job had a head. He said, are you not the one? We tested the material. We could not break it. So we knew that you were the source of that material. So how can you say, the battle is not fair now. The contest is not fair. You came and put war. How can we test him? How will you be interfering? Allow us. Let's play this game. I say you say Job is your man. Come on that thing. Make I touch him. So Satan didn't need to access a secret fire. To say, okay, with spectacle. They say, Joe, no, he gave the details of Joe. Should I tell you something? He visited your compound too. Yeah, he visited your compound. He visited your compound. So God said, okay. And do you know that God did not give Joe prior notice before he set him up? He was not informed before time. So he didn't know the context where to put the suffering. Is it because of his own personal sin? Or the sin of his children? Or... It was in that scripture that spiritual covering was defined. Spiritual covering. He said, thou hast built a hedge around him. That's the first hedge. And around his house, that's the second hedge, household. And around all that he has, that's the what? Third hedge. So, a true spiritual covering covers you, covers your household, and covers all that you have. Exactly? So when the Satan challenged, how many of the hedges did God remove? He removed the one over the things he had, so Satan could touch it. He removed the one over his household, so Satan could touch his household, but he didn't remove the one over. Why? Why? Who knows why? It's because it is God that regulates temptation. He's the regulator of temptation. And the Bible says that he will not tempt us. He will not allow us to be tempted much more than we can handle. So he knows the specifications of Job. And he knows that Job cannot handle much more than he allowed. So this thing we are saying, Satan. Satan has a regulator. So Satan, the moment they removed the one of his property, his livestock, they died. Then I don't have time to show you the symptoms of what brought Satan. In one of the cases, it was a wind, a wild wind. That's the prince of the power of the air. He can use wind, he can use water, he can use anything that is in the natural to work against you. But what was driving Job was deep-seated. In the midst of the external controversies, this man still kept faith with God. It means the work of God in the heart of that man was deep. That means Satan can take every other thing. But that your conviction is something he doesn't have the ability to reach. And if you keep faith with God in the midst of the storm, God will still tell another story through your life. It will be Satan himself that will acknowledge that he attempted you and he could not prevail over you. So the argument was now settled. That whereas the hedge was taken, the man himself was fortified within. Because he had a different driving force. We know what you drive, but we don't know what drives you. That's number two. You know, we have cake cutting, and I like this aspect of the celebration. So we'll stop at number three. You see, are you with me? If you are going to become a man that has spiritual mastery, you must know, you must be a good student of the move of God in your own personal life. Don't be careless about it. You remember Elijah when he wanted to pray for rain, and he will go and pray for one unit of prayer, and he will call his servant, go and check the sky. Because the effect of what I'm doing is going to appear on the canvas of the sky. And then when he went for 7 units and sent his servant to check the sky, he said, I see a cloud that is in the likeness of a man's hand. See, that cloud was so insignificant. But the meaning of the cloud, when the prophet brought interpretation, was that I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Now, something very little can appear in your spirit, but the meaning of it is an abundance. That's why you don't joke with spiritual signs. It might be so small, but that is God telling you that death has entered the compound. And you know why he's informing you now? It means you can do something now about it. What if you don't understand the communication? And you say, God, you didn't even tell us. He told you. But there was no B in your alphabet. So when you spelled the 18, it had no meaning in your language. Are you there? Okay. So you must know your driving force. You must be able to feel what is in the belly of God. Sense what is on the heart of God. You must also be able to know what is your driving. Okay? John chapter 11. John chapter 11.
John chapter 11. Okay, let me do a long reading here. I'll begin from verse 19, but I'm going to verse 33. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am. She thought that resurrection is an event. She never knew that resurrection is a person. So Jesus now said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Yes, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw the weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came to her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. This groaning is in the spirit. When Jesus saw Mary was weeping, he saw that the Jews that came to console her, they could not hold their weeping. Something struck him on the inside. And the Bible reveals that he groaned. He groaned in the spirit. The word is so long, so I won't pronounce it. But the meaning of the word is to charge strictly. I would have taken you to a few scriptures where that word was used. But the meaning of that word is that the Holy Ghost in him was releasing grace for him to take authority over the situation. There are times when the Holy Spirit inside of your heart rises and gives you the authority, gives you the capacity to take authority. The moment he saw their weeping, he saw Mary crying, lying on the ground there. The Holy Spirit went to work. And the impartation of the authority that was needed to raise Lazarus from the dead was triggered. Now, so my question to you is, Do you know when God is giving you grace to take authority?
They say somebody has died,
and you came there to console them. The person just died. Oh, sorry. But in the midst of your attempting to say sorry, something else was stirred up inside. Something else was released. And the purpose for that release was so that you could take charge. So that you could strictly charge. So that you could take authority. If you move according to the quickening of the Spirit, He will raise that soul from the dead. But many times, God moved in our hearts. We were responsible for disconnecting the circuit. Many times. Because we never understood the language with which He was using to communicate. Grace was released. It was on the strength of that impartation that Jesus said, roll the stone. You know, when He commanded that the stone be rolled, some people brought counsel to Him that He's been there for 4 days. At this time, the body stinketh. But you see, that counsel did not stop the authority that was rising in His spirit. Every time when God pours out the grace for you to take authority, there will be a logic in the environment that has been designed to ensure that you don't move in the authority of the Holy Ghost. There is a logic. But you need to conquer that logic in order for you to take authority. At this time, He stinketh. He didn't stop what Jesus was doing. The authority to do it had been poured into His spirit. And as long as He uses that authority, God will be under pressure to confirm His words. The reason why signs are not as many as they used to be is because we don't know this alphabet. When the Holy Spirit wants to use you to take authority. What did Jesus say? Lazarus, come forth. That's all. And the Spirit of God went to work. What happened? What we are not aware of is that what happened to Lazarus was actually similar to what happened when God created Adam. He brought Adam from the dust, because this man was going back to dust. The encounter that happened to that man in the grave converted dust back to flesh, because at that time decomposition had started taking place. That dust, it reversed the protocol of delay. And you know, the instruction was Lazarus come forth, not Lazarus rise up. So the same power that reversed the decomposition brought him. It didn't work out. The power brought him out. The power, it brought him out, because the grace to exercise authority was released on him. We are going to pray today. And we are going to exercise authority this morning. Hallelujah. If you know when God is prompting you to exercise authority, people will think you are not a normal man. Meanwhile, just speaking that frequency, that's all. That's your part of the job. And you believe it enough to give the Holy Ghost the opportunity. Okay, before we pray, I think we need to do some practicals on that matter. Let's do a practical quickly. Oh, he said, at this time he stinketh. Just before the faith finished to couple itself, that cancer came. At this time, he stinketh. And Jesus didn't answer. He said, roll the stone. And he spoke to the dead. And the Bible, the commentary was said, and he that was dead So if you are a man of faith, death may not be the end. If only there is one among us that has the grace that stirs up authority manifest in his life, it means that matter has not yet ended. Now, if you are here today, let's see. Let me check it first to know if there's somebody like that here. Okay. If you are here in this congregation this morning, we want to do practical, but I need someone in a certain community. One of your ears hears better than the other one. One of your ears hears better than the other one. Stand up on your feet. Maybe one is blocked. Maybe one doesn't hear at all. Stand up on your feet. We have one, two, three. Okay, mommy, your own. Sit down. You do your own sit. Please. Now, which ear? In your own case, which ear? What of you? He's my friend and he didn't tell me. Okay, take your hand, cover the ear that cannot hear. Okay, you too. You know, the reason why I'm doing this is because that grace that stirs authority, it just came on me. So I want to show you the practical. Most of the time when they are hearing challenges, it has to do with the spirit of deafness. Most of the time. So, I want to pray for them. Father, we give you glory. We give you praise. We thank you this morning. And this morning, Lord, I take authority over every deafening spirit. Deafening spirits, be bound in the name of Jesus. And I command you, come out of the ears this morning in the name of Jesus. That's enough. Look at me, those of you standing. Look at me. Remove that hand, then use the other one to block the one that can hear. Block it very well. If you are sitting close to them, run a test on their ears for me. If they can hear, if you can hear, raise your hand up. Speak to the ear, speak into the ear that previously had a challenge. Help me quickly. Okay, so this one can hear. This one can hear. Wait. You see, you got it wrong. It has nothing to do with me. It's just that I sensed it. The difference between a spiritual man and a normal person is that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. It's not about the power that is making her. Yes? He can't hear. Okay, you come. You can't hear. Come. So two of you can hear. You can hear. Sit down. Can we give glory to God for? Now, the ability to sense that God wants you to take authority is critical. That's how the miracle hand of God is extended. And it can happen at the airport. It can happen during your lecture. You may be lecturing, and then you sense something. Yes,
There are clinical ways of doing it that nobody will know. You can call the person aside and make the decree quietly. It's not about the shout. It's not the shout. It's about knowing that there's such a stirring and aligning with it with a charge. That's all. And then that which was shocked. See, walking in the power of God is not rocket science. You will be amazed if all of us go out now to pray for the sick, pray for some of you that have never seen healing before, can even pray for a mad person and the person. But if you want to see those results consistently, then you must know when God is pouring out the grace for you to take authority. Is that clear? Alright, let's try again. First of all, I want us to pray for these ones right now and ask God, open those ears. Open those ears. Open those ears. Open the ears. Open the ears. Open the ears. Open the ears of God. I so sele mo coria. Milamo santeli cabres cuvela mahai. Confessos o mo coria. Milamo schiso se. Ebru cotobina canta paboria. All right. In the name of Jesus. So do again. Block it. Block it very well. Block it very well. Lord, I bind every deafening spirit. Deafening spirits be bound. Come out of the ears. Hear, I speak to you here in the name of Jesus. I bind every deafening spirit. Deafening spirits be bound and come out of the ears. I speak to you here. Hear in the name of Jesus. Don't remove it yet. Listen. One thing you must know about the healing anointing and all of that, you are not the one that heals, it's God. Alright? It's God that heals. There is a deaf man that they brought for me to pray for. I prayed for him. Nothing happened. Maybe God was setting that I would take the glory, so he didn't. And then when the man went home, the ear started hearing. So that I will not take the glory. You can't decide how the thing should happen. Okay? So it's good to be humble when doing such things. God will do it the way that will give him the glory. Okay, you can remove, block this one. Let's test again. With usher, help me test. So he can hear. Okay, he cannot hear. Okay, sit down. All right.
I came to confirm the spiritual sensitivity and also an answer to a specific prayer that I had prayed last night into this morning. You may have observed that I wasn't here yesterday. It's because there's this big boy in this right ear. Big. That gave me even fever. And when it happens like that, it affects the hearing until the boil is over. And I kept making a decree that last time will be the last time. And I told the Holy Spirit, please remember this case today. So is this, I mean, when he mentioned ear problem, I couldn't but raise my hand, because the pain has been unimaginable. And with that, last night, I couldn't put my head on one side. If I put it, I'll have to remove it to the other side. Nobody knows. My family members, they are not aware. Because it's something that I knew that the Holy Spirit will handle. It was this morning I told my doctor, my daughter, she said, Mommy, after the program this morning, I will write some drugs for you to go and take. And here Jesus himself mentioned the case by himself and has taken it over completely. The ear is healed, is opened, is clear, and everything is gone. Thank you, Jesus. Just wave your hands and thank the Lord for remembering this specific prayer I prayed this morning. Thank you, Lord.
Now you may rise on your feet and we want to pray that these areas of spiritual activity that we mentioned, that God will make you sensitive to each and every one of them as the Holy Spirit stirs you on the inside. Can we ask for sensitivity in the spirit? Sensitivity. Sensitivity. Sensitivity in the spirit. Sensitivity in the spirit. Sensitivity in the spirit. Persisted, but this morning you want to take authority in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Two things. Pastor has given me the permission to do two things. The first thing we're going to do is to pray for anyone that has any sickness whatsoever. Now, inclusive of genotype issues. Maybe you are SS genotype, trusting God for a change, either AS or AA. This is a good morning for you. If there is anybody that has that condition, after this service tomorrow, go and conduct a test, and you might have a testimony. Is there any pain on your body? You can put it. Put your hand there. I'm seeing somebody, you are finding it difficult to sleep, and when you sleep, a little noise will wake you up and it's difficult for you to go back to sleep. Where's that person? Come quickly.
We hunger and thirst for you, oh my Savior.
Touch them. Let the yoke of the enemy be broken. Let the hand of God descend on them. Jesus, we break the yoke. We break the yoke. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We break that yoke. In the name of Jesus. Jesus, we break that yoke and we release them in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may go back. So
you put your hand where the pain is. I see someone with a migraine. This migraine is actually 3 years old. It goes, it comes back, it goes, it comes back. Little stress. You see the migraine. It's 3 years old. Where are you? Migraine. So come.
We hunger and thirst for you. We hunger and thirst for you.
Oh, I'm seeing something like a monkey stealing somebody's money. That reproach comes to an end right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You used to suffer from migraine? You too?
Hunger and thirst for you.
Hi. The case of one of you is an emergency. Are you coming? Now listen. The case of one of you is an emergency. And in such cases, the Lord himself is the one that comes to administer cure. So the hand of God will come upon one of you. Because the Lord will come to administer cure. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that one whose case is an emergency, let your hand fall on that one. Let your hand fall on that one. Let it become so intense, so intense. Let your hand fall on that one. Fall on that one. Fall on that one. We break that yoke. We break it in the name of Jesus. We'll break the yoke in the name of Jesus. We'll break the yoke in the name of Jesus. We'll break the yoke in the name of Jesus. Yes. Break the yoke. Break the yoke. Break the yoke. Now, I'm seeing someone. You have seen yourself, someone threatened you with death twice in a short space. Threaten you with death. Where are you? You were threatened in your dream with death two times now in a short space. I'm waiting for you. Quickly, quickly, come here. It's an emergency. You are released, sister. You are released. Someone appeared in your dream and told you that you are going to die. This happened twice. In the recent past.
Hunger and thirst for you. We hunger and thirst for you. We hunger and thirst for you, Almighty God.
Hunger and thirst.
We hunger and thirst for you. We hunger and thirst for you. We hunger and thirst for you, Almighty God.
Sorry, someone is supposed to still be here. And the person is still in the congregation. There is a fourth person that is supposed to be here. Join up now. There's a fourth person. Your own is even more terrible than these three people that are here.
We hunger and thirst for you. We hunger and thirst for you, Almighty God. And we hunger and thirst for you.
We hunger and thirst for you.
Hunger and thirst for you.
For them and send the spirit of death back to sender. Back to sender. Back to sender. Back to sender.
back to sender. Saboko de Maliko Satelia. Presco Felamanta Yeko Sabalaita. Ilamo More Casil. Thank you, Lord. Father, we break the yoke. Loose her now. Loose her now. Loose him now in the name of Jesus. Loose him. Loose him. Loose her in the name of Jesus. Yes, you can go. Except you. Stand up. Father, anywhere this lady's name was taken, to cut her off suddenly, let that place be burnt off. Let it be burnt off. Let it be burnt off. Oh, your garment, that your garment that was used as a point of contact, I retrieve it. I retrieve it. I retrieve it in the name of Jesus. You will leave. Now listen, listen. I just had a quick vision. A quick vision. One of you, if I overshoot, just do me a sign. Because the thing is coming. Yay! See, one of you here, you saw your relative in your dream, alright? And the person took something and struck you on the waist. Is that is the person I'm looking for now? It's an emergency. If it's not exactly the way I describe it, don't bother. You saw someone and you are related to that person. And the person took something and hit you on the waist. Please, if you are in this congregation, come out. That case is an emergency. Mighty God. That case is an emergency. We hunger and thirst. Now, wait. What did you see, young lady?
It was a whip like this.
I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Koboko with three mouth.
Koboko?
Yes, sir.
And the person used it to beat you on the waist?
Yes, sir.
Now, listen. This, so that you will pray very well, you know what? They want this lady dead in the next, like, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. All right, so we are going to release this thing back, and there will be a sign. In 3 weeks, there will be a sign. Woo! Can we pray for her? We hunger and thirst for you.
We hunger and thirst for you. We hunger and thirst for you.
And we hunger and thirst for you.
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 Father, in the name of Jesus, we send the affliction back to the evil one that thought that he could make your daughter a prey. That in the next 3 weeks from today, the heat of that affliction will overwhelm that person. In the name of Jesus. I see an angel of the Lord. Now listen, this angel that I see is carrying a linen garment. It's carrying a linen garment. And anytime I see this vision, it means that there's somebody in the congregation. You are supposed to be a carrier of the presence of God. In the next 12 seconds, the angel of the Lord will release that linen garment.
on you. And you'll be clothed. You'll be clothed with the presence of God. It will happen in the next 12 seconds. One. Two. Three. Four. To come so strong. So powerful. Five.
We hunger and thirst for you. We hunger and thirst for you. We hunger and thirst for you. Almighty God. I'm singing.
Supposed to be a mighty carrier of God's presence. The Lord will find you, one of you here. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that your mighty hand, this one that is supposed to be a carrier, a transmitter of your spirit, I ask Lord that your hand will begin to descend. Let your hand descend. There is. Now, I also saw that in this choir, there is someone here. Your ministry is changing. It's changing. And the Lord will confirm it because he will put his hand upon you so mighty. And he's coming so close right now. He's coming so close. So coming close. Lord, help me find in the name of Jesus. Help me find in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. There's an upgrade in the spirit. It's an upgrade. Upgrade. Now listen, I'm seeing someone is already healed. There is a sickness that you inherited. You inherited that sickness and it's been troubling you, and today is the end. You will testify. You will testify about it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now if you are in the prayer team, is it prayer team? Okay. Prayer team, come. Because I'm seeing, are you there, Pastor? Are you? Oh, yeah. Oh. Okay. Prayer team, God has decided to show mercy. Almighty God. Now bring that girl. Let me touch her before you take her. We hunger and thirst for you. Those of you in the prayer team, there is someone that God wants to give the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy. And it shall come to pass that while you are doing your duties in the prayer team, this vessel will be bringing out very deep secrets about the ministry, very deep secrets about the church, the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is given. And you will be a vessel that will speak the mind of God. There is still another one among you that is still receiving the gift of prophecy.
And the hand of God will begin to come upon you, even in your sleep. Sometimes you'll be taken in the spirit, and God will show you things that have been kept secret for a long time. The hand of God will come upon you so strong, you will be overwhelmed from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Father, in the name of Jesus, this vessel of prophecy, I ask that you place your hand stronger, 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 stronger. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming even strong. So strong. It's coming. Stronger. 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 From the crown of the head to the sole of the feet. It's a vessel of prophecy. It's a vessel of prophecy. You bring her close. It's a vessel of prophecy. It's a vessel. It's a vessel. It's a vessel. God will increase you. Yes. In this state. Because there is an unction. It's so mighty upon you. It's so mighty that I see upon you. And you will bring out fresh tunes that will drive the prayer lives of many people. They will switch it on so that they can pray. Grace is given to you in the name of Jesus. I pray for this team, Lord, that this team will never go down. That your grace on this team will be ever increasing in the name of Jesus. Oh, we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Please, you may sit. You may be sitting. Almighty God, we hunger and thirst for you. Again, so he just told me now. You will have not too long, you will have an international invitation. Yes, I'm seeing that. I started seeing it from yesterday, but I think, but the way I'm seeing it open. It seems you have touched God. It seems you have touched God. And we hunger and thirst for you, Almighty God. We hunger and okay. The Lord said there's going to be a miracle wedding. Yeah. There's someone that's a bit advanced in age. And it seems all odds have been arrayed against that lady. And there's going to be a miracle wedding. That's what I hear. We hunger and thirst for you. You have touched God. You have touched God. You have touched Him. Hunger and thirst for you. You see, you have been faithful. You have touched him. You have touched him. He will show himself in your life. Yes, he will show himself here. He will show himself when you are invited somewhere. And an invitation is a massive international invitation that you have. I wanted to pray for the sick, but what is coming is not. Is God wants me to bless you. Somebody just got his employment now. You gave an application for a job. I'm announcing that you got the employment.
very, it's a family that is very, very strong in terms of its entrenchment in the way of witchcraft. And there has been a lot of discouragement around your life. Even though you have been praying, you have not seen so much results. And the Lord said that the reason why you have not seen those results is because you've been praying amiss. Because of this, He's going to give you a gift. It's revelation. And the purpose of the gift is so that you can actually know what you are contending with and be accurate in the delivery of your prayer. The hand of God is going to come upon that person for the impartation of this revelational gift. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you help me find the individual in question. So from my left hand side to my right hand side, I ask Holy Spirit, anywhere the person is, help me identify the person. Father, let your blessings be upon every family that is represented here in the name of Jesus. Let your grace be released in the name of Jesus. That by this time next year, let there be testimonies, diverse testimonies, diverse miracles, diverse upliftments, diverse breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. We hunger and thirst for you.
And the way to enroll in this school is by making Jesus your Lord and personal Savior. In case you are here, you are not yet born again, or you were born again and you backslided, this is an opportunity for you to make things right with God. Wherever you are under the sound of my voice, you want to give your heart to Jesus. Can you place your right hand on your chest? Wherever you are, can you place your right hand on your chest? You want to make it right with Jesus. You know that if Jesus comes today, you are not sure of where you're going to go. Don't miss this opportunity. What a life we have in Christ, where you can hear God, hear sound, be driven by heaven. But that cannot be possible until you are born again. Wherever you are under the sound of my voice, place your right hand. Don't allow today to, don't live here without giving your heart to Jesus. It's the beginning of the best decisions that you can ever make. With your right hand placed on your chest, you can repeat this after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you because you sent Jesus to die for me. Today, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. Today, I declare Jesus as Lord, as my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me my sins. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Now, if you made this prayer wherever you are, can you walk to the front? Can we sing that song? If you made this prayer, please, wherever you are, walk to the front, please.
I want to know you more. I want to know you
just as
more. I surrender.
That you are supposed to be here, you know, there is that nudging in your spirit to come out, and you are struggling with it. Five of you, I give you that opportunity. A few seconds, we will be done with this. Okay, that's the number one. Remaining four, about five.
I surrender.
That's the best thing that can happen to you. You cannot be ashamed of Jesus.